Amen. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. We thank the Lord for this choir leading us in our songs of praise. They sound like they were already in heaven. Amen. We thank Amen. We thank you for being here. It makes all the difference in the world that you showed up. We thank God for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because God is definitely in control, even when we're not. Thank Reverend Lee for sharing in your hearing Philippians 1, 12 through 18. I just want to lift up Philippians chapter 1, 12 through 14 in your hearing. It's our time together. And now the NIV version, it reads in this way. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Amen. Today I want to preach on the topic, courage that comes from Christ. Courage that comes from Christ. In our text, the Apostle Paul finds himself in prison because of Christ. He was being persecuted because of what he preached about Christ and how he lived his life in Christ, and for encouraging others to believe as he believes and live as he lived in Christ as well. Follow my example as I follow Christ, Paul would say. Paul's life is a good example of problems having purpose. For Paul believed that what he was going through actually serves the advancement of the gospel. And I'm reminded of the text that says, all things God works together with those who love him to bring about what is good, with those who have been called according to his purpose. Now, I have to point out today that when it comes to problems, however, this text has been abused. For some propagate that evil is also a part of the redemptive work of the Lord. Therefore, if you give in to sin, or that you can dismiss it as being irrelevant because it's all a part of God's plan to begin with. In other words, they take no responsibility for their sin, the sin in their lives, because they say that the devil made me do it, or at least God had already ordained it. Now, that sounds good to those who don't want to get right with the Lord, but they fail to point out that God is holy, and each of us would have to give an account for our life. Amen, somebody. Though sin cannot confuse the will of God, that doesn't mean that those who engage in it won't be held accountable for their choices. All things may work together, but I'd rather be on the side of God as they work together than be on the other side reaping the consequences for my actions instead of the blessings. For one thing is certain in life, and that is trouble. You can do right and find yourself in trouble, and you can do wrong and find yourself in trouble. That's why Peter said it's best that we obey God than obey other human beings. Because it's better to be in trouble and be on God's side, to be in trouble and think that God has your back, but unknown to you, you've really moved out of the will of God. But it takes some courage, brothers and sisters, to do the right thing. Paul found himself in prison because of his faith and was on his way to stand trial before the emperor in Rome. He was given favor with the authorities, and they placed him under house arrest, and he was able to have guests and communicate through correspondence. He had been through a lot for Christ, and now that he's in prison, one would assume that his evangelistic activity was slowed down or either just come to an end. But Paul wanted the brothers and sisters to know that even his trouble was for the advancement of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Often we think of our problems as things that only come to oppose us and destroy us, but here we see Paul's ability to see God working on his behalf and to accomplish his purpose even through difficult times. Paul had mastered the ability, no matter what state he found himself in, to focus on what was true, what was noble, what was right, what was pure, what was lovable, what admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, and he encouraged others to do the same. He was an optimistic about life, even when he was put into bad situations, surrounded by his enemies, and even facing death. But Paul wasn't delusional about reality. He was just sober-minded about what God can do. And that was the source of his courage. He stayed focused on Jesus. And when you stay focused on Jesus, Jesus will keep you focused on his mission. Therefore, in prison, Paul's evangelistic activity, it didn't slow down, but rather he saw an opportunity to share who Jesus is. Paul was courageous in spite of his situation. By having courage, that doesn't mean that you're not afraid, but it doesn't mean that you don't have some concerns. It just means you know who to go to with your concerns and with all of your worries. And if you learn how to turn your concerns and worries over to the Lord, then you can rest assured that no matter how it turns out, God is in control, and you can trust that everything will be all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Just turn to your neighbor and let them know, I know you're going through something, but if you trust in the Lord, everything will turn out all right. Oh, you didn't really say it like you meant it, though. You said like you had some trepidation about it. And maybe that's because you've learned that just because it turns out all right don't mean you got to be happy about it. It'll turn out the way it's supposed to be, even if it's not in your favor, but you'll find out even in the midst of your storm, God can carry you through. That's what I mean about it's going to be all right. You may not turn out the way you like him, but if you trust in the Lord, he'll carry you through anyway. He ain't here to make you happy. He's just here to take care of you in the midst of the storm. That's what it means that everything's going to be all right. In death, just trust in the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. In times of unemployment, just trust in the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. In times of sickness, just trust in the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. It don't mean you won't get sick. It don't mean you won't die. It don't mean you won't have some troubles, but it means that God will take care of you no matter what you have to face. Oh, I know I'm right about it. And fear isn't all bad, because sometimes fear will keep you right in line. And when you get in trouble, fear will get you right back on track. Fear will make you seek after God, and fear will make you do what God says. Fear will make you repent, and fear will also cause you to forgive. Fear has its place, but there comes a time that you can be overtaken by fear to the point of paralysis. That's when you got to have some courage. Allow your courage to outweigh your fear. But this kind of courage doesn't come from you. It comes from the Lord. This kind of courage can steady your hand and smooth out your voice. This kind of courage can be a sedative to help you sleep at night. It's this kind of courage. It's like caffeine that'll give you energy and strength to face your challenges for today. Paul said, I may be in chains for Christ, but don't worry, brothers and sisters. It's really for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you just missed your praise break. Because when you realize that your trouble is really for the advancement of the gospel, then you can rest assured that you're on the right side. Oh, amen, somebody. Now, I know why some of you can't shout right now. And that's because you may be going through some things, but you have yet to determine whose side you're really on. But you can make up your mind today that from this day forth, you're going to be on the Lord's side. Go ahead, cast all your cares upon the Lord. Go ahead, tell him all about your troubles. Go ahead and repent of your wayward ways and see what God will begin to do in your life. He who began a good work in you will carry it out to its completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You can make up your mind today that everything's going to be all right in the Lord. But Paul said that what he was going through was for the advancement of the gospel of Christ. The word for advancement is a military term that means the advancement of a military unit or expedition. It means to cut down in advance so that others can have a smooth path as they follow you. I remember when I was a young boy, I would go fishing with my father, and he would park his car on the side of the road somewhere, and we would have to walk through this thick brush to go to where the lake was. And my father would lead the way, and he would tell me, wherever I step, you make sure you step so that you don't step on a snake. You see, if I just stepped where he stepped, I could be assured that if there was a snake nearby, that my father would be confronted by it first and make sure that I stayed safe. He would bend branches back, knock down spider webs. He would survey the land to determine the safest route to travel. All I had to do was play follow the leader. And when Paul is saying, and what Paul is saying is, if I can just have faith in the midst of my troubles, you can have faith in the midst of yours. He was demonstrating that the true testimony is not what you say, but how you handle life when you find yourself in a place you don't want to be, facing obstacles that you didn't plan for, that rewrite the plans that you had for your life. In fact, Paul's life wasn't just an encouragement to other Christians, but Paul even said that the whole imperial guard knew that I was in chains for Christ. You see, people were looking at Paul, believer and non-believers alike, so that if what he preached was good for application, can this guy keep me when life shows up? Can this guy sustain me when I can't sustain myself? What you say about God has some value, but how you apply your faith to your own problem is where the rubber hits the road. And Paul declared that because of his imprisonment, the brothers and sisters were more confident to speak the word of God without fear. See, brothers and sisters, we just made a leap from being faithful in the face of fear to being able to be more faithful without fear. There's a story about Sir Roger Bannister, who was the first man to run a mile under a minute. Up until 1954, most people thought that the four-minute mark was impossible to break. They thought that the human body couldn't even do it, that you would collapse under all of the pressure. No one could run a mile in less than 4 minutes. It was impossible. You were crazy to even try. That was until Bannister proved everyone wrong. Training in his own way, he often didn't train very long compared to his competitors, and believing that he could do it. The experts believed that the record would only be broken on a day with no wind at 20 degrees Celsius on a hard, dry track, probably in Scandinavia and in front of a huge crowd cheering you on, about 10,000 people. Ideal conditions. But it was on May 6, 1954, and there was no such day on that day. It was cold, the track was wet, and there was only 3,000 people in the crowd. Bannister had rested for 5 days before because he reached his peak both physically and psychologically. It wasn't looking good. Six men entered the race with Bannister, and Bannister began his last lap with a time of 3 minutes and 7 seconds, and he needed to do the last one in under 59 seconds. He was exhausted, but driven by the years of training and his determination, he crossed the line, collapsed and exhausted, and he finished in 3 minutes and 59 seconds. He broke the world record. He'd done what was so unbelievable by others. Oh, and over the next few years, more and more people began to break through the 4-minute mark once they realized that, yes, it was possible. Once Bannister proved that it was possible to run a mile in under 4 minutes, suddenly everybody was able to do it, proving an important lesson. Once you stop believing something is impossible, it then becomes possible. You see, when someone else does what everyone else says is impossible, it sets an example for others to do the same thing. And because of Paul's example, courage in the face of fear turned into fearlessness for those who would follow him. I think you kind of missed that. But you can look at the first in anything. Anybody who is the first at anything, the first one to be a manager, the first one to be on the moon, the first one to be president of the United States of America, you better believe they got to go through all kind of hell to get there. They got to have a whole lot of courage in order to make this thing work. They got to go through doors that everyone said was shut. They got to kick down doors that nobody wants to open. But once they open up the door, it seems like everybody can get through a little easier than the first one that had to go through. It don't take a whole lot of courage if everybody already done it. You become fearless and not fearful. Thank God for those that gotta go forward so that we can go through without any fear. But don't you know, brothers and sisters, maybe you got to be the courageous one today. Maybe you got to be the one that stands up when nobody else wants to. Maybe you got to be the one to be quiet when everybody else wants to throw in their opinion. Maybe you're the one that gotta go against the grain to open up a door so somebody else can walk on in. Oh, you missed it right there. I ain't got to be scared because I'm surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that's already shown me that my Lord can do anything other than fail. Got some examples in my life that have told me that God will make a way somehow. And after they told me, they stepped out on faith and showed me that it's possible. You ain't got to have a whole lot of faith. I remember a conversation that Jesus had with Thomas the doubter, because Thomas didn't believe that Jesus was really resurrected from the dead. And Thomas said, I won't believe until I see the holes in his hands and the holes in his feet. Then Jesus showed up and let him feel all in his hands, let him feel all in his feet, and told him, blessed is the one who believes and yet have not seen. Well, I've seen some stuff, and I ain't gotta have a whole lot of faith to know what I'm looking at. I'll just go a little further so that I can open up a window for somebody else to crawl through because of the Christ I have in me. That kind of courage only comes through Christ, but if he did it for somebody else, God can do it for you. I know I'm right about it. You don't know how encouraged I get in here sometimes, feeling down, feeling bad, throwing my pity party, but then somebody walks in and lets me know that God is still able. They tell me their troubles, they tell me their problems, and they don't want no prayer for me. They just want to pray for me instead. They said that the Lord will make a way somehow, and if the Lord can pick them up and they further down than I've been, why am I sitting around worried and crying and wondering what's going to happen with my life? I see some folk that God's blessed in spite of themselves, and they happy about it. There's a difference between being courageous, fearless, and callous. Courage is doing the will of God in spite of your fear. Fearlessness is following the path of the courageous person, being confident if God did it for them, then God would do it for you. But callousness is just not caring. God doesn't want us to be callous, but he does want us to be courageous, because you can't really minister to people that you don't care about. You would just be going through the motions. And some people are able to get some things done because they just don't care. They don't care about themselves. And if they don't care about themselves, you know they don't care about you. They don't care what damage they do. They just care about getting what they want to get and going where they want to go. They're able to do some of the most evil things to people and go to sleep at night. That ain't courageous. That's not being fearless. That's just being callous and uncaring. And you can't be callous and uncaring in God's ministry.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And be effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't call on the Lord and be callous.
Yeah.
That's because it takes the radical position of love, even in the face of trials and tribulations. The radicalness of love is something much different than courage. There's a saying that goes, no justice, no peace. In the face of all that we see today, the reason why we don't have any peace is because there is no justice. And let me share with you, brothers and sisters, the absence of violence does not mean that there is peace in the land. The Roman army had a practice that when there was some type of revolt to happen, they would put it down violently. They would even salt the whole earth so that nothing can grow there. They would kill and they would destroy in order to squash the violence, but that doesn't mean that there was any peace in the land. The radicalness of love that comes from Jesus Christ can cut through injustice and still do the right thing for even your enemies. The Bible says you got to pray for those who persecute you and pray and do not curse. Now, I can tell you, brothers and sisters, you got to be able to have the love in Christ in you to pray for your enemies, pray and do not curse. Because sometimes even in our prayers, we don't pray that our enemy get better. We pray that the Lord smite them so that we can see it and I can pop some popcorn and watch it as it's going on. It takes the radicalness of love in your life in order to confront your enemy, because only light can repel darkness. And I ain't talking about let them abuse you. I ain't talking about let them kick you around. Sometimes out of love, you got to tell them stop, don't, quit, and you got to talk that language so that they understand where you're coming from. The difference of what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters, is that you don't want to become the same evil thing that you're fighting against. You'll end up like them, and you'll be just as mean, you'll be just as nasty, you'll be just as cantankerous. You got to fight this kind of fight in love. Kind of fight that would build you up after other folk try to break you down. The kind of fight that would give you peace in your life when there's hell breaking out all around you. And when you have that kind of radical love in your life, other folk who even fight against you will begin to ask the question, what makes you different from me? Courage that comes from Christ. We have to believe and depend on God in order to make it in this life, because people and things will take you out of your Christian character and remind you that you ain't always be Christian, and there are some words and ways that you still remember from time to time. Don't let the devil have his way. Don't let him ride. Don't let him drive. Don't put him in the back seat. Don't cram him in the trunk. You got to tell him he got to get with somebody else because he can't get in your car. And you got to do it the Lord's way. Just as powerful, just as strong, with just as much convictions, because the Lord said, you'll be my witnesses. And the word for witness is the same word we get martyr. Are you willing to lay your life down for Christ? That, my brothers and sisters, is where the rubber hits the road. I ain't say for foolishness. I ain't say for the wrong thing. I didn't say out of emotionalism. Are you willing to put your life down for the sake of Christ? If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. And the Lord won't squash your ministry. He just may grow it and put you in some positions to talk to some people you would have never talked to before if the Lord didn't put you in place. We open up the doors of this church today. that you may receive this Jesus Christ in your life. He's a radical kind of Jesus. He's a type of Jesus that got to confront everybody on all sides. Those that tell you you shouldn't fight and those that tell you you should just be quiet. The Lord wasn't scared to do both, but only in his own way and only in accordance with the Lord. The Bible don't say don't get mad. It just said don't be angry and sin. The Lord is calling to you today. You need to cast all your cares upon him. He says if you call him, then he'll save you. Those that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, you shall be saved. But it ain't just talk. It's not just rhetoric. It's willing to change your lifestyle to measure up and line up with that of Christ. For Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Let us stand at this time as we're led in a song. This is your invitation. God is calling to you today. He's calling to you. The question is, how will you respond?
God has.
This is your invitation.
Smiled
the Lord's calling.
Me.
He's calling you. He's calling you.
He has. Me free, I know that God has smiled on me.
Yes.
He's been good to me. Oh, let me say that God. Blind, but now I see.
the Lord a hand of praise.